The first question comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 5 and verse 3. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 3. And this verse says the following, "And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it." And the question is this, what does the phrase "under the earth" mean here in this particular passage? And so that's what the questioner wants to know. They want to know, well, what they probably think, you know, I understand what in heaven means, and I kind of know what on the earth means. I got that figured out. But what is this under the earth? And what is that talking about? And what does the Bible mean when it talks about under the earth? Well, this prepositional phrase, under the earth, is used more than just here in this passage. It's used three times in the New Testament. In fact, it's used both in verse 3 here in chapter 5, and then it's also used in verse 13. "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And if you go back to Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10, you'll see that the phrase is used there as well. Look at that. That's, of course, in this very thoughtful passage in the book of Philippians, talking about having this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And it talks about Christ humbling himself and then being raised up to a position of great honor. And then in verse 10, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. So we have that expression again, under the earth here. And so we're asking, what does this expression mean? Well, in the book of Revelation, John is recording his vision, and as he writes this, he's talking it generically about everyone and everything. And that's the idea when you take this whole phrase together, under the earth. That is, this whole phrase under the earth together with in heaven and on the earth and under the earth. When you take that whole phrase together, basically he's saying there's no one that's excluded, that everyone is included in whatever topic or subject it is that he's talking about. And so the basic idea is that of completeness and of an absolute category of people and persons. And so the idea is that there's not a single location where exists any person of any kind, whether there be angels or men or demons or Satan or whoever, you know, that will not participate in whatever event is being described. In Philippians chapter 2, it's bowing before Jesus Christ. In Revelation 3, it's, or Revelation 5 and verse 3, it's someone to open this book that they found in heaven. In Revelation 5 verse 13, once again, it's giving praise and honor and glory to Jesus for what he has done in opening this book. So that's the general idea, and that's what's going on there. But I bet that someone is asking, yes, but what does the expression "under the earth" specifically mean? And how does that relate to these other things? And so let's talk about that for just a moment. And so as there are persons in heaven, such as angels, and as there are persons on the earth, such as men, there are also persons, quote-unquote, under the earth. And so what the Bible means by under the earth isn't necessarily, digging down into the ground and finding a cave or something like that, and then finding people inside that cave. That's not what the Bible is talking about. Just as the Bible isn't talking about in heaven, actually going out into outer space among the stars and exploring the planets that are out there, you know, and finding people out there. No, that's not what the Bible's talking about. It's talking figuratively when it says in heaven, and it's talking figuratively when it's talking about under the earth. And it's talking about people and places that have to do with the spiritual and not the physical. Consider the language that's used in the journey of Jesus after his death when Paul discusses this in Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 9 through 10. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 9 through 10. Now listen to this expression. Now this, and what Paul is doing is he's quoting an Old Testament passage that says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. I believe that's from the Psalms. And then Paul comments on this a little bit in verses 9 and 10. He says this, now this, he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. Well, there it again is talking about things under the earth, the lower parts of the earth. And verse 10, he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. So Jesus descended into the lower parts of the earth. Well, what are the lower parts of the earth that Paul is talking about here? And what is under the earth? Well, it's a descent. It's a going down, as opposed to an ascent, a going up into heaven, so to speak. And what Jesus did when he died was he did descend into what we refer to sometimes as the Hadean realm. If you've heard the word Hades before, the word Hades simply means, in the original Greek language, it simply means the unseen realm. That's all it means. That's what the word Hades means. Unseen. And so, literally, that's all it is. A place that isn't seen by human eyes. And so, when Jesus descended, he went to Hades, to the unseen realm. And we learn more about Hades in Luke chapter 16. If you'll turn over to Luke chapter 16 for a moment, you're going to find there a little information about the Hadean realm. Luke chapter 16, starting in verse 19 through 31. So let's turn over there and take a peek at that. Luke chapter 16, starting at about verse 19 through 31. This is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Notice verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Now look at verse 23. And being in torments, in Hades, notice, torments in Hades, he, that is the rich man, lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So the rich man was in torments, he was in Hades, and Lazarus was afar off with Abraham, and he was in Abraham's bosom. And he was in Hades as well, but not in torments. Okay? So what does this tell us? It tells us that Hades has two different places. There's the place of torments, and there's the place of comfort that is in Abraham's bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. So Lazarus was in a place of comforts, the rich man was in a place of torments. Verse 26, and besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that you who want to pass from here to so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may come testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. So what's the picture that we get? And this is a picture, kind of a snapshot, if you would, of the afterlife. There's the Hadean realm, place where all the dead go. And then there's a place of torments. And then there's the place where Lazarus went, a place of comfort. Jesus calls that place paradise in Luke chapter 23 and verse 43, when he turns to the thief on the cross and says to him, today you will be with me in paradise. And so Jesus was going to paradise. Now, turn over to Acts chapter 2 also. Acts chapter 2 and verses 27 and following. Remember, from Ephesians chapter 4, we learned that Jesus descended before he ascended, right? After he died, he descended. Well, we find in Acts chapter 2 that Jesus went to Hades. Look at Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 27. Peter is quoting from the Old Testament here, and he says this, and quoting from Psalm chapter 16 and verse 10. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. And it is the word Hades here. Now, I know the King James Version translates this word hell, but that's not the correct translation. It's the word Hades. And if you'll note also in the same chapter here, Acts chapter 2 and verse 27 or verse 30, therefore being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the first fruit of his body according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. So what is Peter telling us here? That the prophecy was that Jesus would die on the cross, that he would then go to Hades, and that he would then be raised from the dead, that his flesh would not see corruption. Well, how could he go to Hades? By virtue of the fact that paradise was in Hades. Now remember, the word Hades just means an unseen realm. It doesn't mean hell. It doesn't mean a place of torment. It just means the place of the unseen. And the Greeks thought that Hades was just the place where the dead went. And so that's the idea here. But Jesus gives us some more specifics in telling us that there's a place called paradise, which is in the unseen realm. And then in Luke 16, he tells us there's a place of torments, which is in the unseen realm as well. And so all of these places are the places that the Bible is talking about when it's talking about under the earth. Okay? So all of these places are the quote-unquote under the earth places. Hence, both the sainted dead and the wicked are quote-unquote under the earth and are all awaiting the day of judgment when everyone will come forth from the grave. Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verses 25 and following, he said this, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves, all that are in the graves, that is in Hades, shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of condemnation." So this is what I understand the expression under the earth to mean. It's referring to Hades, the unseen realm, and of all the people who are now awaiting the resurrection of the dead.